Hi, and welcome to the Get Richer Teacher podcast. My name is Ola, and I'll be your guide and mentor on your way to a profitable, sustainable, but most importantly, enjoyable language education business. And why would you care to do that? To build a business like that? Because there is literally no other way. The language education market is in a bizarre state. Companies making millions in profit, yet paying teachers peanuts. Native speakerism is still way too powerful. And finally, the students are bored of the same old formats and messaging telling them to speak like a native. I'm here to shake things up, to educate and motivate a community of teachers who have the courage to build businesses and teach the language on their own terms, both solo or in their own language schools, and have a positive impact on their students and the world. Because teachers are superheroes. Let's claim it today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Get Richer Teacher podcast. I'm very excited because I've got a guest, a super special guest with me. These are always the you might get tired and bored of me talking all the time. So I do try to invite interesting people every now and again so that they can break the pattern of me talking at you and can share some of their expertise. So I've got Teresa here with me today. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Ola. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to come onto the podcast. We met online, as with most people these days. I don't think there is another way to make friends. If you do know of one, please let me know. But we did meet in Teresa's Facebook group, the Teacher Development Hub, which, you know, I just kind of joined very, very randomly. But I just realized she's such a wonderful host. She invited me to talk to her participants. So yeah, I just had to invite her back. And she's got so many things to share, especially around building communities and making connections that I think is going to be valuable for everybody. So once again, welcome. And Teresa, could you tell us, give us a tiny bit of background on what you do, who you help, what's your jam in the English language teacher world?
Fantastic. So I'm one of those fingers in many pies people. Started out as a teacher and then kind of transitioned into teacher training at the school that I was working at. They also ran they still run the Trinity Cert TESOL course. So I trained up to be a trainer there. And then now I'm trained up as a TESOL tutor as well. So I do that. I'm not in the classroom teaching anymore, which is unfortunate, but I do get to observe a lot of people teaching. So that still helps me to keep my fingers in those sorts of pies. What else do I do? I've got the Temple Development Hub that you mentioned, which is an online community for ELT professionals, for teachers, writers, content producers, anyone and everyone really. I'm also on the TESOL Spain board. I do the social media stuff around there. I do some writing. Just trying to remember all the many different pies that I've got my fingers in. I love working in ELT. I think there are so many different directions that you can take. And sometimes it's hard to say no because everything sounds interesting and exciting.
I know. And I've met so many people. I also like to say that I dipped my toes or fingers, as you say. I like the pie thing. It makes me think of food. It's just so pleasant. I also kind of like did so many different things because I think it's nice. It gives you a unique perspective on the industry. And I remember, this is a very random story, but I remember when I did my own CELTA. The minute I stepped into that one of those sessions in CELTA, I was like, ooh, I want to train on this. This is exciting. I wonder what kind of drew you into teacher training. What was your kind of origin story of how you became a teacher trainer?
Well, I mean, I think it's fantastic when you hear people like your story where, you know, you had that experience. It's like, this is what I want to do. Because mine was very much that I just kind of fell into it. I think actually it kind of started when I first spoke at a conference. I went to the TESOL Spain conference back in probably 2009, I think it was, for my first ever session. And I was just hooked. I was addicted. You know, I loved being in that environment and sharing ideas with people. And then as well, the buzz around being at a conference and talking to other people. So I think that kind of being a conference presenter, that then led on more naturally to getting into teacher training.
It was that, do you think, when you also kind of realized that it's a fantastic community and that you want to do something for the community or build your own, or did that come a bit later?
So I think definitely around that time as well was when a lot of people were on Twitter. That was when kind of edu-Twitter was really booming. And I started a blog around the same time. I think that opened up a lot more of a network, a lot more of a community to me. But then, I mean, in terms of building communities, it was around kind of 2013, I think, that I set up a local teachers association, just for kind of teachers in the local Cadiz area. And we, you know, we would get together 3 times a year and have some mini sessions and swap shops, and we'd go for coffee and chat. And it was a way of getting that ongoing professional development, but also building your connections in the local area. So that happened. And then the TEFL development hub kind of started post-pandemic. When it was actually my boss who kind of had the idea. He was like, you know, I think people want this community. We were so separated throughout the pandemic. And, you know, we love connecting with people. We love going to conferences. We love that buzz. And he kind of said, you know, I think it would be nice to provide that space for people. So that was where that came out of.
Right. And I wonder, because I've always, like, obviously I haven't spent enough in other industries, but I think it's quite a special thing, especially in the EOT. But people absolutely love the feeling of community. Do you think there is something that contributes to that? Like, why do we love being around other people and with teachers? I've got my own observations. Like, even when people come to me for business advice, right? Then when they go off to do their own thing on LinkedIn, on Instagram or whatever, very often they fall back into actually speaking with other teachers, right? Which then they complain about and they say, I need clients and I can't just have teachers on my profiles. You know, that's a completely different story. But I think we have something very natural about just drawing the attention of other people who are on the same boat, who are doing the same thing. I wonder if you have any reflection around that, any kind of thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the very nature of teaching, we spend a lot of time with other people. But when we're in the classroom, it's a very different environment, a very different vibe to being with colleagues. And I think often, you know, we do teach on our own. We go into the classroom, tend to shut the door, get on with our classes, have a wonderful time with our students, say goodbye. Maybe we've got a staff room where we have those kind of water cooler interactions with our colleagues. I think we want those connections. It's one thing that my husband absolutely hates, that I love talking about what I do. And so when we tend to go out with other teachers, the conversation goes to different students and different activities. And I think we just love those kind of conversations about the profession that we love so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think that's key. That's what you're saying. Like, we're so passionate. And I honestly don't know many people, or at least maybe I live in my own bubble. The kind of average person that comes to work with me and that I meet is a person who either fell into the profession, but absolutely, as you said, head over heels. They just stayed because there is nothing else from that point on. They may have done their initial qualification like a CELTA or a TESOL kind of by accident, especially if they're like a native speaker from the UK or whatever, but they just stay because they fall in love with it. Or at least I like to think that that's the kind of a community I'm around. And it's really true that they are so passionate that they just need, they crave that space to talk about that.
stuff because it's very hard. I also noticed that, especially again, in my context, in the context of building a business, teachers would love their students to be as passionate about the language as they are, as nerdy, as interested, as curious. And I think it is a very, very sad reality that most students are not. Like, they do, they might, like, I think teachers are great and there is great potential in creating rapport, in creating fantastic environments in the classroom. But at the end of the day, students are not language nerds, right? So that's the argument why people might be craving that community of people who are like, let's just moan about this tense and like, and let's just moan about this student or about this new theory or whatever. Like, maybe that's, there is something like unifying about that as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. You know, because we don't always just complain. I think it's great
to be able to
bend and, you know, and have that complaint about teacher. But like you say, it is so much as well about sharing that passion with people and yeah, just, and you perhaps don't get that from your students, which is absolutely fine because they're learning the language rather than teaching it. But yeah, being able to share your experiences, whether that's positive or negative, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit like, it's. I feel like this might not be even unique to the EOT or the teaching industry, but I think it's just so visible, so like tangible. I noticed that, I think it's human nature to just group in like, based on those interests, based on those passions, but it's, I can also see that in that business world where I'm definitely passionate about both. I'm passionate about the teaching side, about languages, but I'm also passionate about business. But I don't expect my clients to be passionate about business. Only some of them become passionate and like nerdy about talking about funnels and email marketing and stuff like that. But it's okay. It's okay. I can have communities for that where I talk to people about it. But, at the end of the day, it's great that you provide this space for them. So what do you notice people like to talk about in your community the most? Are there any subjects that are most popular? Do you notice anything?
Yeah, so every Wednesday I post a Wednesday question, which is just kind of encouraging people to reflect on their practice. Maybe it's something kind of physical to do with classroom management, or maybe it's a kind of a bigger question in ELT. And to be honest, the most popular thread that we've had by far is the one on combating native speakerism.
Uh-huh.
Think that is still, unfortunately, such a huge topic in ELT.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I love about having this Facebook group is that you can add, so when you have a post, the minute you add something to that post, it springs right back up to the top of the feed again. And so, you know, because it's such a big topic and people are still talking about it, and just a couple of weeks ago, the BE SIG, they did a talk about it. So there's always new links that I can add to conversations, to people's posts, to groups that are set up to kind of support people and fight the good fight.
Mm, absolutely. What kind of came to my mind is that it's absolutely wonderful that there is a safe space to talk about it. So I believe that people can disagree there, like there can still be discussion. But I think at the end of the day, in order to tackle this problem, because it's still a big problem, there needs to be safe spaces to talk about. And communities like that provide that space, which, yeah, I'm glad something like that exists, because otherwise people definitely can feel lonely. And start believing like maybe they are not good enough, or like there is. I obviously if we go deeper into that problem, I think that it can be kind of like two faced. One, the non-native speakers might be feeling like they're not good enough, and the native speakers might feel like native speakerism is their only unique value, right? The only unique thing about them in their teaching career, which is obviously not true. There's so much more to being a teacher, right? So I'm glad that those conversations happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's that whole kind of privilege thing that I was completely oblivious to it when I first started teaching. The fact that, you know, I was born in the UK, I've got at the moment still got a UK passport, and just the kind of the opportunities that that has afforded me that aren't available to people who are much more qualified and much more experienced and have that experience as well of learning the language themselves. So yeah, I think keep plugging away at fighting it and doing what we can to try and make it a better situation for everyone. Obviously in the EU, it is slowly getting better.
I think so.
The fact that you can actually kind of go, well, this is the law. You can't post that job advert like that.
Yeah.
But then obviously, you know, when we look at it on a global scale, it's very easy for companies, schools to hide behind visa requirements and things like that. And, you know, change, it will happen, I think. I'm optimistic. I'm an eternal optimist. But it will take longer in certain areas than others.
People just need to talk about it more. And yeah, some people might get tired. And I feel like, again, from the perspective of business, I think teachers feel the need, especially those who are kind of being affected by it. They feel the need to talk about it. But sometimes I would say, which is important, I would say it's important because so many students have still the wrong impression that, oh, I need a native speaker teacher, right? And I think we need to be talking about this. But sometimes I think we can be a little bit too much because students are not as involved in that issue. So again, having a community where you can discuss this, you can learn from other people who are the actual advocate in tackling the issue, let's say, is going to be useful. Right. So my other question was going to be, is there anything else people like to talk about, teachers like to talk about?
Well, I mean, one thing I would say as well is one of the things I love about the TEFL Development Hub is I can, you know, there are a few people who are always there, you know, fabulous people who support the hub and, you know, any post that there's a like or a comment or something. But then there's also times where I'll post something and just somebody will pop up. And I just think, you know, something like that, that it's just on people's radar. And I think you don't have to be engaged all the time and you don't have to be a serial liker. But the fact that, you know, something will get to somebody and engage them to the point of commenting or liking when they maybe have never commented in the group before. I think that's really nice as well.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I can already see a lesson to the listeners. Like sometimes, and I talk to people about it all the time, we have lurkers. And lurkers doesn't mean that they're disengaged, that they're not interested. They just don't show. And that's it. But the time will come when they will say something, when they will reach out, when they will absolutely. And I think, again, it's a good reminder of, I think, like, if you don't post with the added pressure of having to make a business out of it, because as I understand, you run the TEFL Development Hub as more of a passion project, right? Or a voluntary project, right? Exactly. But, you know, even if you do it for the business purposes, it's like never giving up because it's important to give people space and time to express their opinions or whatever to when they're ready.
Well, so there's also this, I was doing a project back before Christmas about online communities and I came across the term of legitimate peripheral participant.
Right.
So that's this idea that when you have a community, when somebody new joins the community, they're at the beginning, they're on the edge, you know, they need time to see how the community works, to see how the interaction works, to see what people are posting, how the communication is happening and things like that. And so you've got all these people on the edges who might slowly become more integrated and form a bigger part of the the content, as it were, or they might be happy just kind of staying on the edges and like you say, listening. It's not that they're just there doing nothing. They're taking ideas, but just they don't feel the need to obviously show that.
Yes. And that's okay, isn't it?
Hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
And if anybody here listening would want to build a community, whether it is a Facebook group, whether it is, but I think Facebook is just such an obvious, easy way to build a community. Would you have any tips of how to make it happen? What is there anything that you do intentionally to make people feel more at home, to provide value to them?
Mm-hmm. So I actually did a talk on building communities just recently. The IETEFL Teacher Training and Education SIG and TESOL Spain did a joint event. And so my talk was on building communities. And so my three takeaways, if I can remember them, first of all was moderation.
Yeah.
I think communities, for all the benefits that they have, they need somebody kind of controlling them, keeping an eye on them. Yeah. Just because, you know, people misuse them. And so if you've got somebody there kind of checking that the content is relevant and things like that, it just encourages people to remain a part of that community. The second takeaway was, and this is something that I haven't done, was kind of having a niche. Because I think if you've got people who are in the community because it's very relevant to them, it's meeting their needs as well, they'll be more likely to remain, to participate, etc. And then my third takeaway was continuing the dynamics of it. So whether it's a team of people who are providing content or just one person like me in the hub, generally me, I accept posts from other people, but it is 90% me, I think. So that people see that there's still movement happening in the group and they feel like it's worth remaining a part of it as well, because there might be something new around the corner that appeals to them.
Absolutely. I feel these are like golden tips. Thank you so much for like summarizing your talk, because I think that these are absolute gold. Moderation, I completely agree. And it's so glad that you're talking about niching, because obviously that's like that main thing I say to people. It just needs to be relevant. So like the reason why my business works, the reason why your group stays relevant is because it's niched towards language teachers who are looking for something very specific. So it's the same in any sort of area, really. In podcasting, in building a business, in building a YouTube channel, in anything. So that's fantastic. Another perspective and another like point to that. And obviously providing value. But I also believe that, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've never had an experience of running a more general community, but when you know who those people are, it's much easier to actually provide them with that value. Because you know what to say, you know what they're looking for. You know that they look for space to discuss controversial subjects. They look for support in certain areas of teaching. So it's like a never-ending pool of ideas. If you were trying to attract all sorts of educators from the world, I think it would be very hard to find something that would please everybody, right? So I think that's great. I think that's really, really helpful. Right. Wonderful. Is there anything else that you would add to a person who would want to either join a community? Can they join your community or build a community?
Of course, everyone's welcome in the hub. So the hub is mainly the Facebook group. And I mean, one thing that I absolutely have to say now, it's me that kind of manages the group, but I couldn't do it without the incredible network of people, including yourself, who you know, give their time to do sessions in the hub. So I do a webinar kind of every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it does tend to often be me reaching out to people, generally on LinkedIn. I find that I make a lot of connections on LinkedIn in terms of meeting other educators. And so, you know, I'll quite often just kind of go, oh, hi, look, I've seen your post about XYZ. Would you be interested in coming to talk in the hub about it? And I've never had anyone say no, which I think, again, going back to our passion as teachers, as educators. Yeah.
They love to share what they know. Absolutely love it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So huge thanks to everyone who's ever given a webinar in the hub and all the many more to come.
Absolutely. No, I know that it's actually like, that's why I asked, is it a free community? Because there's so much value actually, and people should be joining. So I believe everybody is welcome. And you can watch my old talk about, I mean, no, it's not even that old. It was January 2024 when we did it. And yeah, that was great fun. So yeah. Thank you so much, Teresa. That I felt that that was a really, really enlightening chat. And I feel it's, you know what? I feel that the biggest thing is that it may be validating for a lot of people that they are looking for their community and that there is nothing wrong with it. And it's actually quite important that you have your space where you can vent, where you can find your support network. So glad that there are people who still want to provide that space. So.
Thanks to you. Thank you. I think that's it as well, that maybe people don't actively post in the group, but it's just as well a space where people can see other people. You know, you might see that somebody likes a post and then think, you know, maybe I can reach out to that person. I think, you know, the hub, it has provided the opportunity for particularly people who are working online, don't have that staff room. Just an opportunity for them to meet other people and kind of build their network that way as well.
Exactly. Yeah, which is very relevant to my lovely freelancers out there. They're usually very lonely, so they're looking. So I don't know if you know, one of my first projects in this business was a membership, which I kind of gave up for many different reasons, but it was like the biggest, the strength, the bloodline of it, the blood. Does that make sense?
Anyways.
Was the community, the people who just absolutely craved to join, just to be around other people. I like to think now that still my Facebook group for clients is still kind of playing that role. It's obviously focused on kind of the business side of things. But let's be honest, people discuss all sorts of stuff there, which I think is another thing. I never talk about my Facebook group because I always say, oh, it's just a thing. But thanks to this conversation, it actually made me think, it's such a wonderful perk. So I actually invite people to that Facebook group once they become clients. So whether they buy something that costs like £1 or £1,000, they join the group, they get the invitation. And so it's become a reminder for me how many people I've helped, which is great, but also a fantastic place where people ask all sorts of questions,
maybe I should invest more time in that because there's so much.
Such a good reminder that there's so much potential.
As well, just another thing that I love about Facebook is the search option. It's just this incredible tool within a group. Because I can go back, you know, the hub's been around for just over three years now. And now sometimes think, post a question about this.
But
did I already share that link? And you just go into the search and it's like, oh yeah, there it is. It's amazing.
I know. You could probably do more. So, like, there used to be this option to create like guides, lessons, things like that, so you could actually organize the content. I'm not sure if it's for everybody and if it's like necessary, but definitely for. And I know that there are some people who always complain that they don't like Facebook. They may not even have a Facebook profile, but at the end of the day, it's one of those things that people just genuinely use. They sometimes just like open it because it's there, right? So it's just such an easy way to check in on people or see what's going on or ask a question and just feel like you're part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. Oh, I love this chat. Thank you so much for agreeing to come onto the podcast. So how can people find the hub?
So we are on Facebook if you just search for the TEFL Development Hub. And then also there is a website, thetefldevelopmenthub.com. And there you can find links back to all of the webinars. So once you're in the Facebook group, you can watch the last 3 years worth of webinars as well. That sounds great. And great topics, there are some great speakers. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, from kind of the business side of teaching and how to make more money. We've had things on teaching unplugged. We've had things on using music in the classroom, sustainability and bringing the environment into our learners' lives. It's about everything.
I love it. More people should know. Amazing. So I'm going to obviously post a link so people can find it, come and be active, maybe even contribute, because that's also a wonderful way of just giving back to the community, isn't it? Thank you so much, Teresa. It's been a lovely chat. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you very much for having me. See you all again soon.
See you.
You know what, teacher? I'm so proud of you. If you're listening to this, you are ready for a change. Whether it is to quit hassling for peanuts or working with other people who don't respect you, I know you've got it in you, and my podcast is here to help you do that weekly. To be reminded of new episodes, sign up to my newsletter. It's in the show notes. You'll also receive lots of tips, support, and special offers. I'm committed to supporting you also via my coaching programs and courses. You can work with me in my flagship programs, the Rocket Takeoff or the Rocket Accelerator. The Rocket Takeoff will take you off the one-to-one teaching hamster wheel to more peace and more well-paying students. The Rocket Accelerator will help you finally launch a group class that will be perfect for students that are a joy to work with, and so you can leverage your time and do what you love while having space to breathe or read another self-development book. If you're a language school owner, I've got things on offer for you too. Simply go to my website, olakowalska.com, to check them out. Finally, please share this podcast with your teacher friends, rate it, and subscribe. I'm your biggest cheerleader. See you next time.